Welcome to the Savvy Shopkeeper Retail Podcast. I'm your host, Kathy Cruz. Just like you, I'm an independent retail business owner. I love the home decor and gift boutique I co-own with my sister, but I don't want it to consume me or my life. Join me each week as I share lessons learned, helpful tips, and valuable information for your retail business and life. Whether you're buying your products or making your products, whether you're a $25K business or a $2.5 million business, I'm on a mission to help indie retailers work less, profit more, and grow. Let's get started on today's episode. Welcome to episode 212 of the Savvy Shopkeeper Retail Podcast. Shopkeeper Stories with Kate Simpson, owner of Cerulean on the Cape. I just wanted to say on the Cape. I'm your host, Kathy Cruz. I'm really happy today. I feel like this is really overdue to bring you Kate Simpson, who is not only a shopkeeper and a shopkeeper for years, but she's also a Savvy Shopkeeper team member. And that's special to me. That's special to me that somebody in our own community would want to be part of our team. And she's been such a helpful team member to me because not only does she help, not only is she the group ambassador, she helps point people to the right direction, shares helpful links with them. She's definitely a huge help on Zoom to me whenever we're on calls. She keeps me from having to research Google and find links and share them with other group members. She's also the group moderator, group call moderator. So she takes half of the calls off of my plate. Everyone adores Kate, respects her, and appreciates all of the work that she does. In fact, every time I post about Kate, someone will post a GIF and say, Team Kate, go Team Kate, Team Kate, we love Kate. So Kate, I don't want to share your story. I'd rather you share it first. So just give me your background, because that's the question I always ask at the beginning of a Shopkeeper Stories episode, is I want to know what got you into shopkeeping. So I'm going to ask you so many questions today. We have a lot to talk about. This might be a longer episode than usual because Kate and I have such a long history. But Kate, why don't you tell me your journey into shopkeeping and owning a store?
It all started off with me being a maker first. I've been making jewelry since I was young, doing shows, and realized it was not a sustainable practice to keep doing shows every weekend when I was working full-time as a nurse. So I found a spot that was a shop within a shop initially, and then was able to, once that was kind of going in a different direction that I wanted to be in, found an independent location that was more my style in a coastal town, and then was still working full-time as a nurse while having the store. So sleep was minimal and realized I really wanted to be a full-time shopkeeper and not do nursing. So I left for a little while and then came back because COVID and finances were tight. But I was able to leave nursing again to be able to focus fully on shopkeeping and making and the entrepreneurial life.
Yeah. So remind me, I mean, you've been in Master Shopkeepers 5 years now? Has it been
five years this fall, officially.
Okay. And how long was your first location? Because we're going to talk about a couple of moves. How long ago did you open that first location? What year was that?
That was 2016.
Okay.
The shop within a shop. And then in July of 2017 was when I opened in Warren.
Okay. And when you say Warren, what state so that everyone knows?
Rhode Island, the smallest state.
So Kate, the name of your store has always been Cerulean, right?
Yes.
And what was the inspiration for the name of the store?
I wanted something nautical because I've always loved the beach and the ocean, but didn't want something that was cheesy or overdone. So I went to colors and found Cerulean, which is a beautiful color blue. And it's stuck with me ever since.
Do you still make jewelry?
I do.
I knew the answer to that question, but I had to ask. So you're still a maker and a brick and mortar store owner selling other makers' goods. Do you sell anything else other than handmade items?
Vintage items as well. So it's kind of my two loves of handmade and vintage meshed together.
Yeah. And that works really well for your customers, I imagine. They love it too.
They absolutely do. They really appreciate kind of the homey sense that it brings to the store. It's not just all, you know, gifts stacked in a line. It's more fluid and how they would have it in their own homes.
Yeah. So what is it that you love about shopkeeping? Because how long were you a nurse for?
In total, 10 years. I was a psych nurse. But what I love about shopkeeping is the control and independence of it. I don't have to listen to someone else's rules. They're my rules. And I can choose to run my business the way that I want to and not base it off of someone else.
Yeah, it makes sense. I love being my own boss too, but everyone knows that. So tell me about just Cerulean and your customers and what they love. Tell me all the things.
They love when something is made here in the US. They love when they can know more about the artists themselves and even the causes behind the pieces as well. They love being able to rescue something out of the landfills and be able to have that memory of, say, like their grandparents, be like, oh, my grandparents had this in their house. You know, it brings back all these memories of my Nana. It's nice hearing those stories too.
This episode is brought to you by my new free resource, a ChatGPT guide for retailers. There is no other tool that has saved me as much time in 2024 as ChatGPT has. My new guide will help you learn about this free artificial intelligence tool. Yes, it's free, and it's not as intimidating as it sounds. I share 14 ways retailers are using the tool now to save them time and effort. I also share real store owner examples, and the results from one search will blow your mind. Visit SavvyShopkeeper.com/ChatGPT to sign up for this free guide.
With the move, my customers have slightly changed, which is still kind of a learning curve because I've only been in my current location for, so I'm still kind of figuring that out because it is totally different from my previous location.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, because aside from the location with the location, when you moved to the your actual first brick and mortar location in 2017 in Warren, how big was that store in Warren?
I think it was about either 15 or 1800 square feet.
Okay. And then was it 2019 or 2020? You stayed in Warren, but then you moved to another location, right?
2021.
Okay. But you stayed in Warren and moved to a different location?
Yeah, I moved street down, basically. Okay.
And every time you've moved, what was the goal of the move?
Better foot traffic and better visibility for people to actually see the store and not just drive by the store.
Yeah.
So had added another store in the process when I was at my first location. So I combined those together when I moved in Warren the first time.
Okay. So I guess the point of all this, somebody like whoever's listening, right? They could be thinking like, wait a minute, how many locations? I think what I want to share in particular about Kate and why I wanted to bring you on the podcast is because of your willingness to test, right? Like, I guess the point is not how many times you've moved, not how many times you left nursing and then went back to nursing. It's that you were willing to test and see how things worked. And that's what I appreciate so much about you. Is that you don't let the fear of the unknown hold you back. You're like, well, let me try this and let me move here and let me try doing this and let me try bringing these products in or these makers in. You're always willing to test things out. And I think every time you do test things out, and tell me if I'm wrong, every time you do test things out, you learn a lot, I imagine.
Absolutely. I think a lot of it is doing it scared. I definitely was not, you know, oh yes, this is going to be amazing on each thing. No, absolutely not. There was risk involved in everything. But ultimately, it's realizing that I shouldn't have to stay in situations that weren't actually benefiting my business, like having leaks in the ceiling in my first location, not conducive to business. So that was the motivation for the first move.
I love that. All right. I think that's going to have to be the title of this episode, is Doing It Scared, because you're a really good example of that. And I appreciate it. I also always appreciate how open and honest you are in the group about the changes that you're making, about the things that you're testing, about the moves. And hopefully that inspires a lot of other people to do it scared too, even though if it might feel incredibly intimidating to do something like that or scary. Tell me some of the things that you've learned in the moves and the decisions that you've made.
I think first and foremost, really being true to who I am is doing it with integrity and not wanting to change in a way that fits a certain box, and also go to a location that makes you more money.
I mean, hey, we said we're going to be honest here, right? Well, you know, and I think that's a struggle for a lot of store owners, and something I'm going to be talking about more, particularly in a presentation that I'll be teaching in Master Shopkeepers in April, the 7 pillars of a brick and mortar store. That's one of the things that I will be focusing on, because at the beginning of the journey, it is really important to find a location that brings you enough foot traffic, or that you can get enough people to turn it into the revenue and the sales that you need in order to sustain the business. And that, again, that's one thing that I appreciate about you, is you move, you learn again. And now I feel like the location that you're in, and we're saying on the Cape, but specifically what city is it in?
Sandwich, Massachusetts.
The location in Sandwich seems to be the one that's generating the most amount of foot traffic for you. Is that right?
Absolutely.
It's
not even a question. Even on the slow days in Sandwich, because obviously, yes, it's retail, they're going to be slow days. My slow days in Sandwich were like sometimes my okay days in Warren.
And that leads to another question right now for the people who are listening that have slow foot traffic stores. They're thinking, but how much more are you paying now? And you don't have to share numbers, but was it like a double? It was a double increase in rent to go from where you were before to where you are now?
Yes. But the way I looked at it was the people in Sandwich have a higher income level, and the location is on a main street, literally on Main Street, technically is my address. But there's other businesses around that are supportive and kind and were incredibly welcoming. It also helped that I grew up in Sandwich. So small town kid coming back home, it's nice being able to see, you know, people I went to school with, or my teachers, or just people in town that know me or know my family, coming in and support the store rather than having to drive an hour to come and support the store, which some of them did do, which I was very grateful for.
Yeah, that's sweet. I love that. And I love the story part of it. Would you say, and I will say this, like a doubling square footage or moving to a location that's double the rent doesn't always mean double the transactions, but what did this result in for you? Did it result in double the transactions? Do you know? Have you looked at those numbers? Because here we are heading now, when this publishes, it's going to publish in March, and we'll be in the middle of March metrics and Master Shopkeepers, where we focus a whole month on all store metrics. But I'm curious if you think, just based on kind of what you know and what you've seen so far over the past month, if you've doubled transactions or maybe even more.
I've almost tripled.
Wow.
But to also put it in perspective, my sales in Warren the previous year were not great.
Yeah.
So it was part of the reason also why I moved, was it wasn't sustainable anymore.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, like, you all hear Kate's voice, and you probably don't hear her smiling, but whenever I normally talk about this with her, a little smirk pops up on her face, and you see the joy of actually finding a location that works well for her and her business. And this is another thing, knowing my story, if you've listened to the podcast, you know I took a huge leap of faith to go all in on full-time entrepreneurship. And I've seen Kate do that twice. So to see her hard work and her doing it scared, and now her seeing the benefit of all of that makes me so incredibly happy for you. And I always love to see the smile on your face that starts to surface when I start to talk about it. What have you learned about yourself in particular? This is one thing I really want to know. What have you learned about yourself other than being willing to do it scared? What have you learned about yourself as a store owner, particularly as a brick and mortar store owner, on your journey, especially since you've been in Master Shopkeepers for 5 years? You are on almost every single Zoom call, whether you host it or not, you're there. You are engaged in the group. You know all of the resources or most of them in the lab. You've read the lessons. You hear me talk. You've heard me repeat myself 1,000 times on so many points that I've made. What do you feel like you've learned? Give me 3 things that you've learned about yourself as a store owner, aside from doing it scared, because that's clear.
I think the first thing would be focusing on what I'm doing and not focusing on what other people are doing. It's really easy to be like, oh, well, that's really working well for so-and-so. Maybe I should do it. And it's like, nope, focus on what you have currently and what you want to grow with, and not worry about all the shiny objects that can come into the picture. Because I am guilty of letting the shiny objects take over. The second thing would be using the resources. You know, it's don't hide away from learning something when the resources are out there. Like, don't try to figure it out on your own if you have a resource you can use. Like, there's a reason why groups like Master Shopkeepers exist, is to help people learn so that you don't have to be Googling, you know, up the wazoo of trying to figure out how to do this when there's a lesson that literally tells you exactly how to do it. And then you can do it and then realize, okay, how can I then improve this even more within my own business? And for the third thing, I think a lot of it is just believing in myself, working on the mindset aspect of I can do this even when it's hard. Because there are still hard days now, even with the better location, you know, more income coming in. It's not perfect, and I don't think it ever will be. So having to release that idea of perfection and just keep going and keep trying and doing things and just see what works.
That's perfect. And I was hoping you would, I didn't want to feed you your answers. We didn't talk about this. We said it would just be an organic, natural conversation. And I'm so glad you brought up the mindset, because we see it in Master Shopkeepers, right? Or I see it when store owners tell me, well, I don't need to work on mindset. Just tell me what to do. And I get it. I'm an action person. I love to take action. I always want people to just tell me what to do, what instructions, and I'm a worker bee. I'll get it done. But oftentimes we just don't see that what we need to work on the most is our mindset, is our perspective. So I'm so glad you said that, because I've seen an evolution in you big time, especially over the past year or two. Definitely when you made the decision to move was that technically the third time that you moved?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that story is important to share, because I think some store owners have a fear of shame, feeling like if they move, then that means that they're admitting that that first location was an error or was a mistake. And I don't think I've ever heard you say that or mention that. It was, no, moving forward, not looking at the past, not beating myself up. And that I want to commend you for that, because it was always about getting better, making better decisions, learning about yourself and moving forward. Is there anything else that you would share just about making those decisions and doing it scared that you think is important for other store owners to know?
I think it's important to not try to cling to something that you want to work when it's not working. You know, I loved Warren. I loved the community, but it wasn't the fit for me. It was for a little bit, and then it wasn't. And that's okay. You know, opened up opportunity for someone else to go into that space. And it's a good thing to realize when it's time to say goodbye and let it go.
Aww. As I pause and think about that, I think that's so perfect.
This episode is brought to you by the Savvy Shopkeeper Quiz. After years of research and learning from thousands of retailers, I determined there are 6 stages of shopkeeping. But what's more important is knowing the action steps store owners can take during each stage. These steps can help you focus, create efficiency, and improve profitability so you can grow. Take the quiz to find out which shopkeeper stage you're in. Plus, you'll get a helpful and customized list of podcast episodes and 2 free resources specifically for the stage you're in now. I reference the stages often in podcast episodes and when I teach online, so it's helpful to know which stage you're in. Visit SavvyShopkeeper.com/quiz to take the quiz.
So what's next for you?
I'm looking forward to summer because that is a busy season on the Cape with all the tourists. It's going to be interesting experiencing that as a shopkeeper and not just as someone who lived there or someone who would go back and visit because my family still lives on the Cape. And I'm excited and also scared because I don't know what to expect. I don't know what I need to have for inventory. It's kind of going to be a figure it out as I go along.
It's exciting.
Orders quickly.
So one other question, when you mentioned that this customer is a little bit different, right? How is it that you learn about this customer then? What is it that you're doing to try to figure out what this new customer really loves and what they want to buy from your store? How are you doing that?
I've been getting more detailed in my categories for tracking inventory so that I can see, okay, they're really kind of going for this type of card or this type of vintage vase or candlestick, and kind of keeping those mental notes of this is what they're gravitating towards and this is kind of what they're not really looking at as much or not looking at as often. But the other aspect is I also will have tourists coming in, so they're going to be completely different and I'm not going to know necessarily who they are, you know, what they like until they come in and tell me.
And have you always been data-driven, or focusing on the data is something newer to you?
I've been data-driven to a point, but not as much as I am now. I think I would always be like, oh, well, I'm in the store. I know what's selling. You know, I see, you know, that card only has one left, or this color necklace really sells really well. But having it in a report that I can see and pull up, it makes it easier instead of having to think back or think of how many people walk through the door, because I'm actually tracking it now.
And even though I agree with you, like even though we may be in our stores all the time or even part-time and we think we know what's happening, I say this all the time in Master Shopkeepers, when I had my own store, I would run the numbers and do all of the analytical reports at the end of the year before I would head to Atlanta and go to America Smart, which you experienced for the first time this year. There's this huge smile on Kate's face right now. I always thought I knew what was going on. And then I would look at the numbers and it never failed at least 1, 2, or 3 things that were aha moments for me and my sister when we looked at the numbers. We were always surprised. So don't underestimate the power of using the data, which is what we're really going to focus on in March in Master Shopkeepers. So tell me about your experience at America's Mart. What did you think about that?
I loved it. I'm a shopper at heart. So for me, having 3 buildings that I can shop in is so much fun, except my budget was not where I wanted it to be to be able to buy all the nice shiny things. But it was nice being able to meet some of the makers that I've followed online for so long and see their stuff in person and not just, you know, on fair or on social media, and get to have a conversation with them. Like building 3 was my personal favorite because I am so maker focused, but I loved going through building 1 and 2 to kind of get design ideas and things that I can make on my own, or vintage inspired pieces that I can find the actual vintage items for.
Yeah. And when you say building three, I just want to clarify for people listening. Building three is actually the apparel building. But during major market weeks like January's Home and Gift Market, they have the temporaries on the first few floors. And that, I imagine that's where you spend a lot of time at the temporaries, where all the smaller businesses come in and set up booths and sell and take orders for their goods.
Yes, that's I loved that section so much. I had a lot of steps on that day when I did that building.
And it was funny because during market, Kate spent a lot of time with another group member, Christine, and they would send me pictures or post in the group and say that they were avoiding me. It was hilarious, not intentionally, but it was fun. Like the fun, the humor that comes out of the group is fun. So let's shift to Master Shopkeepers because now you've been a team member 3 years. It started as the group ambassador, I think, 3 years ago, and then we added group call moderator. And literally, after we record this podcast episode, we're going to be talking about adding some more responsibility to your role in Master Shopkeepers or for Savvy Shopkeeper. So I love that at the same time your business is growing, you're growing with Savvy Shopkeeper, and I really, really appreciate it. So tell me about your role in Master Shopkeepers and what you love about it so much, the role in particular.
I think what I love about being both group ambassador and group call moderator is the connections and being able to help people find the resources that I know helped me so much and just get to know more people. I'm really lucky that I am more of a face in the group that people recognize me. At the America's Smart Meetup, people knew who I was. It wasn't like, "Hi, I'm Kate." Oh, that's Kate. And it was nice also knowing everyone too at the meetup that it's not a, "Ooh, who am I sitting with?" It's, I know everyone.
Yeah. I think that's part of the caretaker in you, right? Like I've always said, I could never be a nurse. I don't know if I would have made an awful nurse, but I think that's the part of the caretaker in you where you take care of everyone, you nurture those relationships, and you love the community part of it. And it really shows in everything that you do. I appreciate so much that the group members trust you, right? Like they know that they can tag you. They know that they can ask you questions. They know that they can be vulnerable on group calls, whether they're recorded or not. They feel safe. And that's always what we want in Master Shopkeepers, right? We want everyone to feel safe and protected and not fear judgment or rude, inappropriate behavior, right? Like we just want everyone to feel good in there. So I appreciate that you're part of the team and everything that you do. Is there anything else that you want to share just about your journey or your story or the things that you've learned that I haven't asked you?
When I first joined the Savvy Shopkeeper community, it was with the free group. And I knew as soon as Master Shopkeepers opened that it was the right fit for me because I knew I wanted to continue being in a group of like-minded individuals that can support me during tough times and also help celebrate me during the fun, exciting times and the changes. And being a part of a group for almost 5 years, it takes a level of commitment other than just, my responsibilities as group ambassador and group call moderator. I still want to be a helpful, responsible member of the group itself, even outside of my roles.
Love it and appreciate everything that you do. How can everyone follow you and connect with you and shop online with you?
So you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Cerulean of Cape Cod, all spelled out. So Cerulean, like the color, Cerulean of Cape Cod. And then I'm also on TikTok. I'm trying steps, but I am Cerulean of CC on TikTok as of right now. And then you can find me online at ceruleanofcapecod.com.
Easy enough. Kate, thank you. I've probably have used the word appreciate and appreciation 20 times in this podcast episode, but I think that just shows how much I do appreciate everything you do, the journey that you've taken with me, and that we're going to continue this together. And your enthusiasm, that's another thing that I want to share, is your enthusiasm every time I grow. There's a running joke for years now in Master Shopkeepers that I keep a lot of secrets from Kate. And now I think Kate has weaseled her way into knowing all of the secrets, because now she's on our monthly team meeting calls. She hears all of the scoop. She knows everything before Master Shopkeepers. So for you Master Shopkeepers listening, just know now that Kate pretty much knows all of the secrets. I'm not hiding much from her anymore. Thank you so much for being part of our community and for being so helpful and kind. And thank you for showing me what's possible and for reminding me that it's okay to do it scared. You're an inspiration for sure in Master Shopkeepers, and we appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me, Kathy, and thank you for all you do for running Master Shopkeepers and the Savvy Shopkeeper community.